While the rest of the AFL media fraternity sun themselves up and have a week off up in the Gold Coast, we are here in Melbourne with two of the biggest names, two superstars, the biggest names in media, Matthew Richardson, Nathan Brown. Good morning to you.
I can't see him.
Where is he?
I cannot see. Have a look at you. Where you been? You have been out pig shooting.
Where are you, Hum?
How long have you been? What? See, you folks got to get in. Let's chummer up about his hat. If you are listening, I'm wearing a camouflage hat.
And a T-shirt.
And a khaki T-shirt. And the boys have sat there and gone, let's make a joke about Hummer's hat.
What are you doing?
This matches. It's a good outfit. Dale said I looked really good as I left this morning. I had a bit of a strut as I walked out the house.
She couldn't see you though. How does she know if you're looking?
Is she asleep?
No, she said, geez, you're looking good today.
Yeah. Right.
So, yeah.
Sleep pleased.
I come in here and just get absolutely destroyed. Hey, good news here in Melbourne. We like to...
Remember Warren Coford, who was our fitness coach, and we met him up in New York that time, and he'd been wearing these shoes and we were in the pub and we did the same sort of thing. There was these real awful green diesels.
Oh, horrible.
And we absolutely gabbed him about these green diesels. We're walking in New York and we got in his head that much that he took them off, walking down a street in New York and put them in a bin and walked in his socks.
It was the middle of winter too. It was ice on the footpath.
Current fitness coach of the West Coast Eagles, he is. Yeah.
Good news down here in Melbourne, 12 cases. Dan the man might just be giving us a few more of our liberties back on Sunday,
what do you think?
Hopefully.
You've been following this closely, Mum. What do you think?
Yeah. I think we might be getting golf back. Because it's an outdoor. I think he's going to give us outdoor recreational activities, which will be great.
What about
for
a few more visits?
Tennis back. I like to play tennis with Julian Valance.
Tennis, anything like that you can be done outdoors. I think he will give back to us, and I think he should. They should repay the great work the state is doing.
How's he been going, Dan? In your eyes, you're a political expert.
I'm not going to comment because we've been told to leave it alone from our listeners, from our bosses. People are sick of it.
So when you got told to let the Gary Lyon one go, you remembered that as well.
You kept bringing it up. You were the one that kept bringing it up. TaylorMade would be very happy. Our good sponsors will be in getting fitted for clubs, hopefully very, very soon. And a big shout out to all those recovering from Mad Monday. Of course, those in Victoria didn't get to celebrate Mad Monday this year. At an AFL level, there was no Mad Mondays to speak of whatsoever. At a local level, it's good to see on Instagram there's still a few clubs out west and south and up north still enjoying it, which is fantastic. But last week, we spoke about some vision that we didn't have at the time, but it was just classic vision. And now if this vision doesn't sum up what it was like in the 90s, especially as an AFL footballer and in just the wider community, nothing else will. Let's have a look.
I disagree. I think Jason Dunster will win for Mick McGowan and Paul Roos. The players today were unwinding after their season came to an abrupt end at the hands of Geelong on Saturday. Their only cause for joy now is for Scott Wine or Tony Liberatore to win the Brownlow.
Well, the Bulldogs were disappointed naturally with their loss at the weekend. Today they acknowledged they had come a long way. But their taste of September success is not enough.
I mean, that's going to be the big test, that whether we can go on in 93. And, we've really got to make the grand final next year. And it's going to be a big test on us for the pre-season. We've just got to work towards, 93 grand final.
We're pretty happy at the way things are going this year. And hopefully we can build on for next year.
Atkins is another chance tonight in the Brownlow. He needs something to pick up his spirits. Two nights on the town with his mates has been enough for girlfriend Shannon, who delivered his belongings and his eviction notice to the Albert Hotel today.
I think that'll work itself out, though.
I don't think it'll work out, actually.
It certainly is, It's a bit of a joke, though, I think. I hope.
Specialist coach Robert McGee, a member of Richmond's 73 and 74 premiership sides, says it's an occupational hazard.
Try and find 13 mates in 74. We had 14 divorcees, Well, it's a team game, so you may as well keep it up as a team game and see if you can get 13 mates to be in the divorcees club.
We're just sitting here with a few drinks and you'll see the dry cleaner come through and the washing machine and his golf clubs, and the poor blokes have been kicked out of home. But I think the girls should understand. I mean, it's, we only do it once in a year and that's it, but...
Isn't that fantastic?
That encapsulates the 90s right there.
Just the
How do you reckon Axe went? Did it all sort itself out for him?
I'm not certain that it sorted itself out. What about the fish and chips on the old paper? How good's that?
Hey, before we dive into the show proper, I just wanted to bring something to attention and the attention of our listeners, because we love multis. We love same-game multis at this show. We had a couple of just monsters. Now, that we're talking, this would be life-changing. Now, the first one I want to look at, there's a bunch of mates led by Nelson.
Is that the NFL one?
Yeah, the NFL one. Now, they pick a leg from a match of all 15 matches over the NFL weekend. They've been doing it for 5 years. They only put $6 on it. They had come down to the last game.
Every week for five years.
I assume they've had a couple hit. This one, they put $6 on it. The odds were paying $33,729. They got to the last game of the year, of the round. They needed Jared Cook to get a touchdown, and he got one in the third quarter. Now, can you just imagine? They put $6 on that. $202,000 to five mates.
That's good.
Wow.
Can you just imagine what that would feel like? And there was another one as well.
So you want to trust the bloke who's putting the bets on, wouldn't you?
So over the 5 years, is it $6 every week they've put on? Is it just...
Yeah, probably $6.
It's cost them $100 a season over five seasons. So they've invested $500 to win $200,000.
Just imagine the group of mates. Hopefully they're not in Victoria, but imagine that feeling, you know, I guess you've won a group quaddy and stuff like that, which is fun, but 200 smackers, that is a big one. There was another one. This bloke has had 19 legs. It's just across everything. It's gone over AFL, NRL, $125 he's whacked on it. So that's a big crack, $33,000.
Wow.
Yeah, so
I got a $50 same game multi last week for the Brisbane Carlton game, right? So it was at $9.
You got it up.
I got it up. Right. So I had Brisbane head to head. I had Sam Walsh to get more than 20 disposals.
Yep.
I had Hugh McLuggage to get more than 15. He smashed that. Harry Mackay kicked 3 goals. I had him in for 2. So that was the value, Harry Mackay kicking 2 goals. The one I was worried about and the one I was stressed about was Jared Lyons to get more than 20 disposals.
Gets 20 every week, doesn't he?
He does, but he only had 11 at 3 quarter time.
Oh,
so he needed 9 in the last quarter. And obviously Brisbane winning this game easy.
It's a wet game too.
And I'm sitting on the couch watching it on the iPad and Christina's watching the TV and I'm sort of like moving like every time we went near the footy, I'm like, run. And she's going, what are you doing? They're winning easy. What's the matter? And she didn't know that the same game multi.
Keep that.
So he started to get a fair bit of the ball early in the last quarter and it got down to 36 seconds to go and he still needed 2.
He still needed two in
36 seconds. Now, he has got a kick at half back and he's kicked this mongrel to half forward, right? And they've fisted it back. There was a bit of a pack, a bit of a roll on, got down to 8 seconds and the ball found its way back to him. He's picked it up, right? And he's being tackled and he goes to handball it. And I swear he misses this. I swear, if you watch the replay, his hand misses the ball. He got a stat for it. Oh. He got the 20. It was the last handball of the game. There was no stat after that.
Did you go up or did you refrain yourself?
I refrained myself.
Well done.
How much did you win?
$450.
$450. Not bad. I tell you, so you just, the lucrative COVID period just runs on for Nathan Brown. But speaking of multis, now we've been talking about our multi we've been putting on each week. Admittedly, it has been an absolute disaster.
Debacle.
We hit one very first week. Last week, I went the Hawks. You got into me. They were paying $2.30. It was a great bet. You went Melbourne at the line. That was a fantastic bet. They got up there. Richo, you went Hawkins to kick 3. He kicked 2. So he missed again. But
he was playing
six.
I can announce.
I'm just warning you, Hum. As this show wears on today, he is getting under
my
skin.
Bop him. Do it.
I've had enough. He's just cheeky.
Richo would destroy you as well. You would be absolutely.
He knows that.
Cats.
He knows that.
Well, I've seen Jake King beat him before. He's a bit of
But Jake King has got a lot more tools than what you have.
Have you seen Jake King at the moment?
He's huge.
Oh my God, he's a ball
he's
of muscle.
He's pushing some steel around.
Richo, you've been getting into me.
He's pushing a lot of steel
you've
around.
You've been getting into me about that. We haven't been able to work out how we're awarding this cash. Now, there's still a few weeks in, so hopefully we can buffer this up. But I can say it. The $550 that is in there now, plus whatever we win for the rest of the season, and we're going to try extra hard because we've finally got a mechanic to give this cash away. Brownie, you know the Hotham and how back the battler, whereas local footy clubs or local cricket clubs, rugby league, golf, doesn't matter, whoever is struggling, they can get involved in the Hotham, put their name down. If they get selected, that they'll have a Hotham horse running on their behalf. We are now going to say the horse that comes last, if you're the club associated with that horse, you will get our cash.
Beautiful. Nice. Good stuff, mum.
We've got no...
Only, it took you, what, 18 weeks. Well done.
We got there in the end and it wasn't even my idea. Hey, Brownie, last week we told you to do a top five rising star.
Did.
You didn't
yep.
do it. This week we were going through the run sheet 2 minutes before the show started.
That will be announced tonight at the awards, yep. All-Australian, MVP
we spoke about
and
it all
rising
week,
star.
All week
yep.
in the WhatsApp. Yep. We got here 2 minutes before the show
Hasn't
started.
Done it.
Hasn't
I've
done
got it right
Have
in.
You done it?
Yeah, I've
all
done
right.
it.
Well,
so
here's Brownie's top five in the rising star.
So this won't be the top five that gets read out tonight, but I think from a small sample size, I'm still giving Matt Rowell the best player in the rising star. He only played a couple of games, but he took the competition by storm.
I think that's clear that he's going to be the best player.
Yep. Yeah. So I'm giving that to Matty Rowell. I'm giving the four votes. So I got 5-5-1 here. 4 votes to Caleb Sarong. I thought for a young man, bit of a bull of a man, he did really well. 3 votes to Ben King. Played at the Gold Coast. Yep. His brother obviously played at St Kilda where the supply was a lot better. Kicked 25 goals this year, Ben King, and I thought that he got his hands to a lot more than he could have marked. So
he's not eligible though.
Isn't he?
No, he was nominated last year.
Oh, okay. Well,
so do you want to make that Max King?
That's what research would have found out, Brownie.
If he had have well, read the WhatsApp group during the week.
Okay, so Ben can stay in there. So I gave 2 votes to, I thought, Will Day at Hawthorn.
Yep.
I thought he is going to be a very, very good player. Played 11 games this year, a lot of touches and some important touches too. And I gave 1 vote to Noah Anderson.
Good.
I left Isaac Rankin out. He was just outside that.
Now, another accolade awarded tonight, which many say is a is maybe even a better indication of who truly is the best player on the of the year rather than the Brownlow.
Do you think it's the MVP, which is tonight? Or I think the Coaches Association awards the best one to win.
Oh, yes. When's that?
Don't know. Be in the next
MVP
few days.
Tonight, Brownie, have you
it
got
might
your
be tonight.
Top... Oh, no.
Yes, I have.
What do you... You see this run sheet.
No, it was just who's going to win the MVP.
You asked me if I had, and I have.
Oh, yeah.
I think the most valuable player this season has been Tom Hawkins.
Yeah, I agree.
I think outside, like, they've got Dangerfield, they've got some wonderful players, Selwood, but Lachie Neale has had a lot of help. But to play tall forward in a competition like this at the moment where defence is the key, you're not getting a lot of looks at it, I think Tom Hawkins is the most valuable player in the comp right
now. Yeah, I agree. I think he's been the best player all year. He's kicked 10 more goals than the next best. So in a normal year, that's 20, 25 more, I reckon, if you look at it on a... you know, pro rata sort of basis. And then he's had the most goal assists as well in the competition. So
can't argue with that.
Tommy Hawkins.
Now, at the other end of the spectrum, tonight we like to celebrate the best players in the comp. As this time of year, we have delistings and retirements. And I'm just going through the list now. Are there any that you're surprised at? I think let's start with North Melbourne because that's obviously, you know, I like what they're doing. I like that they're finally going. We're not going to sit on the fence.
We have to.
We can't. Yep. We can't. And players like Ben Brown, who you know, are still very good players, but he's not going to fit into the mould of the new North Melbourne.
Yeah. Are you saying who's been delisted or who may be traded as well?
Well, yeah, who may be traded as well.
Melbourne are in a position where they're paying for their own mistakes, though. They thought that 18 months ago or even the start of this year that they were premiership material. Now, anybody who looked at that list outside of North Melbourne thought...
Champion Data rated that list number 6 at the start of the
year. They are not a premiership side. And they got top-up players. Brisbane did it many years ago and they got Favola, Maguire, Xavier Clark was another. They thought they were on the cusp of a premiership and they got it wrong. Hawthorn are about the only club that's brought in talent. Richmond have done it really well now as well. But I think they got it so wrong 18 months ago and now a lot of these players are paying for that. Ben Brown, 60 goals 3 years in a row. This is the best thing for Ben Brown to go to another footy club because over the next couple of years he's going to be starved of opportunity. He's not going to kick the goals he's been, but it's hard to kick 60 goals in a season, Matt, let alone 3 years in a row. And the service he got this year was a disgrace and I think the best thing for Ben Brown is to be at a club where he is going to be able to kick 50-plus goals.
So on the flip side of that, I think North Melbourne, it's a big risk getting rid of Ben Brown. I just think this year you sort of discount this year. It's like you give him a mulligan for this year, Ben Brown, because he was injured early in the year. He was carrying, you know, his knee was crook at the start of the year. North Melbourne's ball movement was horrible at the start of the year. They were going long down the line all of the time. Then obviously they went to Queensland. The dewy conditions at night up there just didn't suit Ben Brown as a leading forward. They come back here next year. They get back to Marvel Stadium where Ben Brown kicks a lot of goals, a faster deck, I just think Ben Brown next year would come back if he was still at North Melbourne. He'll give you 50 goals. So it's a big risk by North Melbourne.
What do you think Sean Higgins will do? It's a strange one. So you've already left the club and you've gone to another club and you've been a really good player at that club. Yeah. Now you're 31. In their hour of need, does Sean Higgins go or does the footy club go, well, you know, we're going to help you go?
I reckon they'll sit down together and I reckon the club will say, you've been such a good player here. We understand that we're going in a different direction. You're 32. You've probably got 2 years of footy left in you. We would not be disappointed if you said you wanted to go somewhere else. And I reckon Sean might go, hey, I want to win a premiership. And he's a Geelong Falcons boy. Is that right?
Yep.
I reckon Geelong have been linked to him before. I reckon Geelong will have a look at him and they'll probably get him pretty cheaply.
Is there a club that is ever linked to more players than Geelong?
They are.
Every year. It's always Geelong.
You know why? Because they're a destination.
Yeah.
Look, they play in a prelim every single year. Why wouldn't you want to go to Geelong?
Where will Ben Brown go, do you think?
Well, I'd be looking at a club that needs a forward line and I'd be looking at a club that's going to play finals. I think Collingwood is a very good fit
salary
for Ben Brown.
Cap issues, though.
They will have some salary cap issues, but Ben Brown is not commanding the 750 that he was at the start of the year. I think you get Ben Brown for 500. Would I be right in saying 500?
I think that's right.
I think he should be taking 500 at the moment, the way he's played this year. So Collingwood are definitely an option. I think Melbourne are definitely an option for Ben Brown. I still think they've got a good enough list to play finals again next year. Wiedemann's not the answer. I think Wiedemann is a great second, third stringer. But if they could have Ben Brown leading out, you've got Bailey Fritsch, you've got Jake the Snake Melksham. I think that is the glue that could put Melbourne's forward line together.
Yeah, I think that they're good options. I think if Joe Danaher decides to leave Essendon, which I think it looks like he's going to, Ben Brown may look at Essendon, but they're probably not a finals contender next year with the list changes they're having. I think Collingwood, and I'm hearing Collingwood are pretty keen on him. You have a look at their forward line. Mason Cox played okay last week, but been in and out of the team. If I was Ben Brown, I think Collingwood would be a good fit. They need a tall forward, consistent tall forward.
Just a couple of names I just want to bounce off of you and tell me if you think they will find another club. Ben Silvani from Carlton was delisted.
No, I don't think so.
Not picked up. Sean McKernan from Essendon, will he be picked up?
Nah, been in the system a long time, be probably doubtful. Not with list sizes being reduced, Hummer, as well.
He retired though, didn't he too?
No. Delisted.
No, okay. I think he's still
delisted.
Happy to go.
Will Magic Door get picked up?
No.
Mason Don't Wood, so. Marley Williams, Jasper Pitt, jeez.
Yeah, a lot of these guys probably in previous years would get picked up, Hummer, but the fact that they're being delisted is because the list sizes are reducing next year because of the COVID. So, yeah, I don't see many of them getting another
opportunity. Was there ever a discussion when you both retired that, like, did you make the decision entirely on yourself or was there suggestions that perhaps you may not be offered a new contract?
Well, there was the talk for me that maybe that club was going in a different direction. And then I'd also hurt my groin and I had a chat to St Kilda. And then
I didn't know that.
What, after Richmond?
Did you? Did you really?
Yeah, and a chat to St Kilda back then.
What, was that Ross Lyon?
It was Ross, I think.
They were right in a premiership window.
Well, they played in the...
It was 2010, the dawn.
And it was the bounce of the ball away from Stephen Mills.
They told me that, Hummer.
That's our soundbite.
They eventually took... who did they go for? Who was number 13 at the Bombers? I can't remember his name.
I don't know. It's your story.
Fast player off the halfback flank. Anyway, it didn't work out, huh?
I retired because I was injured and it was my decision.
And then came back the next year with 300 kids on your record. Before we move on, I just want to chat about now Eddie McGuire, who no one in this room, especially you two, would say a bad word about, got caught at a nightclub.
But why can't he go?
Correct.
There?
Why couldn't he come? But he should be allowed to do it.
Yeah.
He's not in a hub. He's allowed to go and have...
We're just trying to create a story.
We are. But the best part about it was the excuse that he gave.
What was it?
He said that the
research.
Reason he was in there was doing research so he could see how similar nightclubs in Melbourne
could on.
Which is just a fantastic
excuse. I'd love to go to a nightclub and do a bit of research.
Harley Bunnell had an excuse. I think it's something about picking up a car seat for his kid or something like that.
That was
the reason he was
out. That was a mistake.
It made me think you guys would have been, you know, you have recovery sessions, you have missed training sessions, you have press events. Is there any good excuses that you can recall from your time?
I can remember a couple of quick ones. Brian Taylor once, back in the day, Punt Road Oval up in the Social Club, it was one of the best nightclubs in Melbourne, a bit like Moorabbin. They had the Moorabbin Disco, the St Kilda Disco. Well, BT was playing against Fitzroy at the MCG on a Saturday afternoon for Richmond, selected in the senior team on Thursday night. And BT decided to go to the Richmond Disco on the Friday night before he was playing Fitzroy.
Get some mates over for Mandurah.
This is exactly right. So the club found out about it, that BT was at the Richmond Disco at 3 a.m. Pretty obvious. You're going to get caught, Brian. You're the full forward for the club. You're playing the next day. So he actually played.
Kick six.
And then the club pulled him in on the Monday and said, mate, what were you doing at the disco? He said, I had a couple of mates over from Perth and, you know, they wouldn't be able to get in, but I went down to get him in and they said, look, come in and have one drink, and think one thing led to another, and he had a lot of drinks and stayed till 3 a.m. They dropped him and fined him the next week. And the other one was Johnny Rombotis that played for Richmond. Pre-season game in Tasmania back in Danny Frawley's era. I think it was 2000. We had an early flight to Tassie, 7:30 a.m. Now, Melbourne was going through a heat wave at this stage, and the government had asked people to not use their air conditioners. You know, there were, you know, blackouts, all that sort of thing. So Rombo reckoned he followed the guidelines and didn't turn his air conditioner on when he went to bed the Friday night before the game. Couldn't sleep. Tossed and turned all night, sweating up a storm. Eventually fell asleep at about 5:30 a.m. Slept like a baby till 9:30, woke up, missed the plane to Tassie. The rest of us are already down there. So he rings the team manager. They get him on the next flight, which was a 12 o'clock flight, flies into Launceston, gets in a taxi on his way to York Park to play in the game. Taxi breaks down. This is his excuse. Taxi breaks down, lack of fuel, right? So the taxi then has to radio to get another taxi in Tassie, in Lonnie. Not many taxis. Took about another half an hour. So Rombo finally rolled up to York Park, gave Danny Frawley his excuses. Spud went off his dial, put him on the bench. Did not bring him on till three-quarter time. And Spud did this deliberately. Brisbane were on fire. Jason Akermanis was playing inside forward 50. So Spud deliberately brings Rombo on. Never played back pocket in his life. Puts him on Jason Akermanis. The last play of the game, the ball comes inside 50. Brisbane need a goal to win. 50 to himself. Him and Rombo isolated. Rombo slips over. Acker picks it up, kicks a goal, wins the game. Rombo had grass cap boots on as well. Spud asked him about the boots after the game. So he had three excuses in the one day, Rombo.
We played at the MCG one day when I was at the Bulldogs, and we had a function that night. And I remember Shane Burse rocked up and he'd had a spray tan. And he was completely... Because we had this function on later that night, so he'd had a spray tan, right? But it had gone wrong.
It was
one of those 80s-style spray tans. He was orange. He turned orange, like not brown. It was just a bright, looked like an Oompa Loompa almost, you know, that glow they have. And anyway, so we played the game. We got belted by Hawthorn, and Peter Rowe was a coach in that year, so that was the year Terry Wallace had left. And went off his dial after the game, absolutely tore strips off us. And he said, right, we have got a 6 a.m. session tomorrow morning. And noted that I think he understood that we had a function that night. And he goes, every player needs to be there and every player needs to have written out their own match report. So every player had to write their own match report.
So you had to rate your game.
Had to rate the game. And anyway, so we got in there. About 5 to 6, we're all looking around. There was a couple of people who weren't there. Paddy Bowden was one of them. He rocked up late. And Shane Burse was the other one. So
had a good weekend, Bursey.
He didn't get in till about 6:15, right? And he's walked in and his eyeballs are going back in his head. He'd had a big night. And so we're all sort of giggling, bumping each other. And then Bursey had to get up and do his match report. He gets up. He's the only one without a piece of paper. He gets up and he starts making the excuse that he didn't play that well yesterday. Because he didn't get much match time, much game time through the midfield. They put him half forward. He, you know, just couldn't get into the game. And then he was off the bench. So it was game time. It was lack of opportunity. And then Peter Rowe goes, so where's your match report? And he said, I couldn't find a pen this morning. And then Peter Rowe's gone. Sit the F down. He goes, you've made a mockery this morning. He goes, you turned up to an AFL footy game yesterday and you're fucking orange. I reckon it was the last time Bursey ever played for the Bulldogs.
Oh. You know why he had the fake tan though? Didn't you have, it was like a manpower night, wasn't it?
It was a dance at the end.
Well, we put the call out on our socials for some excuses, and we've got some absolute rippers in there. Now, 95% of them we can't republish, which is fine. We do thank you for bringing them in. But there's a couple that we can. This one came from a bloke called Fozzie Jim. Mate wouldn't come out one night because his licence was about to expire and he said he was scared of looking too young. He's 32.
Oh, come on.
So that's an excuse why he didn't go out with the lads. My cousin once came home from a school as a 16-year-old with a big old hickey on his neck. His mum absolutely blew up and said, "What is that?" And he said, and I quote, "It's not a hickey. Someone hit a golf ball over the school and it hit me in the neck."
That's a good one.
That is good.
And the last one, sunk dad's boat. Said it was because the bung wasn't left in its usual spot. That's the...
I know. We get it, mate.
Mate got clipped out on... He got belted on a Saturday night. Rocked up to work on Monday with his sunnies on and told the boss that he had eye surgery over the weekend and couldn't take the glasses off for 2 weeks. Oh, they're very, very good. Brownie, there's something in the run sheet that you wanted to bring up. I'm not really sure why.
It certainly is, son. It certainly is. It's about you too. Now, you are this... You know, have a look at you today. You got the camo on. You think you're a man's man, don't you? You think you're you think you're like Michael Wall, like, you know, the everyday guy, don't you?
No, not at all.
He is.
No.
I reckon that's...
Well, I think he is, right, too. Yeah, I think he is. And then every now and again, he does his PR job.
Right.
And well, he not sends every out, now and then. I do it every day. It's my job.
He sends these emails
that's what you do.
About politics. And I don't think politics is your go. And
no, it's not.
Every now and again turns into Laurie Oak. So he sends out these very, very serious political emails.
Richard Palmerston.
It's almost like that. And I read them every time. And any time he has one, I write, "Thanks, Laurie Oak says."
Yeah, so that or you send it about, I do, because I reality TV and everything like that.
Why are you trying to get into the political side of things?
Well, no, it's not. It's just that my role at sports.
He makes comment about Joe Biden and these guys.
Is to get our brand in print. And politics is a good lever that we pull.
Right.
So thanks for that, Brownie. And I do appreciate the emails that you send belittling my job every single day, which makes me feel fantastic. Richo, what's doing your head in?
And it's doing my f***ing head in.
Oh, look, a lot of things do my head in, Hum, as we know.
Yep.
And this week, I've been a bit edgy this week because of the All-Australian stuff and the team's coming out, but Brownie's going to go into that a little bit later. So that's mainly what's doing my head in this week. You just can't get that job right. The other thing that's doing my head in, and this is just a little one, yesterday morning. Now, we know in COVID-19, not many retail outlets or food outlets that are still in business are taking cash, are they?
Yep.
You've got to tap and go. They don't want to handle the cash, blah, blah, blah. I get it. I do understand that. But yesterday I forgot my credit card and I had a $5 note in my pocket and I went in to get my coffee and I didn't realise I didn't have my card until after I'd ordered the coffee, you know, the strong latte. And I go to get my card. It's not there. I normally have it in my phone here.
Yep.
I thought, geez, I've got $5. Beauty. I said, oh, can I pay cash? They said, no, we don't accept cash. I said, yeah, I understand. I know all the reasons, blah, blah, blah. I haven't got my card. You know, I've already ordered the coffee. Can I give you cash? And they said, no, you can't. I said, look, I don't want any change. Here's the $5 note. I don't want any change. I'm just going to put it in your tip jar there and I'll take my strong flat white. Still wouldn't accept the cash.
Did they give you the coffee?
No. So I walked out. I was filthy. Yeah, you know when you just really need a coffee? But then
Do you know who I am?
No, I didn't. But I gave them a real dirty look, Nathan. You know how I can get angry at things. And I walked out. I thought, that is just ridiculous. Everyone's battling.
Near your house? Is it a local place?
Yeah, they've seen me there before.
Do they realise that you're like the mayor of Northcote?
I wouldn't have any idea who I am, Nathan, because I'm just a normal citizen. But I thought to myself...
Well, not really. You're 6'6". You've got massive lips. Everybody knows who you are.
He's done the lips again.
Yeah.
You're not a normal citizen, Matthew.
But why wouldn't you accept
that? Hipsters wouldn't know Richo, though.
What?
Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you accept the $5?
Yeah, that's bizarre. Especially if you can put it straight in the tip jar.
Everyone's struggling for money at the moment. Surely you take the $5. Come on.
Yeah. That what if they get COVID off the $5, though?
Oh, but I didn't want them to touch the note. I was going to put it
somebody
in the jar for
touch
them.
The note.
Surely they could
put it straight in the jar.
I agree with you.
How long does COVID last on notes?
Fair while.
Seriously.
Yeah.
You just take the fiver, don't you?
You do.
Hey, Trumpet Award next.
Hey, Tom, I'm getting a bit concerned about Nathan bringing up my lips all the time. It's starting to hurt me a little bit.
You've been doing it for 20 years. I don't know why you're worried about it now.
It's just gradually warming down.
You know what will happen? Bop him and he'll stop.
You're
going
to get bigger as you grow older too.
That's
right. Your ears and
you know what
happens
because your face gets a bit more.
Yeah.
They're going to get
you
bigger.
You should droop. That bottom one's going to start like hitting the ground soon.
A trumpet award. I've always got a bit of a pep in my step when I sit down during the week and map out the leaderboard properly because it is a difficult process. It shouldn't be, but it is a difficult process.
So you've had a pep in your step for 2 weeks.
I've only done it three or four times. Lachie Neal leads the best on 15. Tom Hawkins on 10. Travis Boak 9. Sam Menengola 9. Toby Green 9. Tim Kelly 8. And Matt Rowell 8. While for the worst ons, GWS on 9, Adelaide Crows on 8, Hawthorn on 7, Steel Sidebottom on 6, The Man That Shall Not Be Named on 5, Carlton on 5, and North Melbourne on 5. Hummer, thankfully, off the list.
Gee, we just gave Tom Hawkins the MVP before him. We didn't even have him top there.
Yeah, we had him second, though.
Yeah, all right. You going?
I gave one vote. These are the best ons to start with. Daniel Rich, I thought his game the other night. For an ageing player, the way he kicked the footy, 22 disposals.
How good is his leg?
2 goals. I think he needs to insure that leg. Yeah. I think it's an extraordinary foot. So one vote to Daniel Rich. I gave 2 votes to Jack Gunston. The Hawks finished the season well. 4 goals, 18-odd possessions. I thought he was the Jack Gunston of old, just absolutely led them a merry dance. And 3 votes, I thought he had a massive week on and off the field, Paddy Dangerfield. He not only filmed Tom Brown and Damien Barrett, had that hilarity, but then he went out and kicked the 3 goals to beat the Swans when it was going to be top four or top five for Geelong, and Paddy Dangerfield turned the game. That is the mark of a champion, Matthew.
Yes, it is. My best, I gave one to Lachie Hunter. She had a good game. 35 disposals and a goal. That's a strong midfield the Western Bulldogs have got, and they're all playing well. Lachie Hunter, 1 vote for me. I gave 2 to Jack Gunston as well. Gee, finished the year off well. Quality finisher, Jack Gunston, 4 goals and 11 marks. He really wanted to play well for his good mate, didn't he, Benny Stratton?
Yep.
Yeah, I love that. By the way, how good was it seeing Stratton kick that goal?
Yeah.
That pass went all of 7 metres to Stratton too.
Good on the umpire for playing it. And I gave 3 to Danger as well. If he didn't go forward and rip that game apart, Geelong would have missed the double chance because Sydney were right in that game. So that's a sign of a champion, as you said, Nathan. I'll just jump straight into the worst, will I?
Yeah,
I gave 1 to GWS.
Ooh, top of that.
They had to win. They had to win to have a chance of playing finals, and they got beaten by 10 goals by St Kilda.
They're no good. They're no good.
No, I wouldn't say that. I think they'll bounce back next year. Good signing, Stevie Johnson, for their forward coach. He'll get their ball movement going. 2 to the Gold Coast Suns. They just finished the year off poorly. After starting so well, they sort of just dropped off the radar in the last 7 or 8 weeks, and that was a bad way to finish. A 51-point loss. It just sits in your guts all summer, that one. And 3 to Harley Bunnell. Just a bad decision. Melbourne have given him a chance. He was going well. He's got his leg right. He's played some senior footy this year. I believe that they were going to offer him a 1-year deal, and they probably still will. But, gee, just big mistake.
I agree, Matthew. I gave 1 vote to the All-Australian selectors.
Oh.
I thought that leaving out Stephen May, come on, Matthew, we'll
because
get into
you
that.
Were involved in the whole process.
I gave 2 votes the GWS Giants for the same reason that you did, and I gave 3 votes again to Harley Bunnell.
All right. Well, on that, GWS now go to 12 on top of the worst leaderboard ahead of the
Crows.
You're
lucky you can get 3.
Patrick Dangerfield has now overtaken Tom Hawkins in 12.
He's upset.
So he's, well.
I told you at the start of the show, I've just about had enough of this bloke.
Well, we're about to get to a segment. We've got a couple more little bits to tick off. And then, listeners, do not tune off because we are going to grill Matthew Richardson on his All-Australian selection.
It's not.
And this could blow up in here.
I am one of a panel of people, Richard.
Save it for the segment. Save it for the grilling. Hey, let's just look quickly. AFL Premiership markets, as it stands now, we are in the week off. Richmond, $3.25. Brisbane, $5.25. The Cats, $5.50. Port Adelaide, $6.50. West Coast, $15. Don't bother your pennies there. I don't mind Port Adelaide at $6.50.
Richmond will win it,
$3.25.
I think Port deserve to be favourites, but, you know, Richmond have a history of winning for big finals, so, yeah, they've got to be next on the line.
Norm Smith medal as well, because you can get some value here. If there's a club that you think will be at least featuring or will probably winning.
Porter got to make it, don't you think?
Well, you'd think so. So time Travis finals. Boak, Travis yeah. Boak could
That's
have
a tough game against Geelong.
17.
They got routed against Geelong last time.
Geelong are no good.
But if you go off... What? If you go,
they beat Port by 10 goals last time they played them.
Yeah, if you go off form, COVID season.
If you go off form, though, going into that game, you have to pick Port. Geelong's last 2 weeks haven't been great.
Average. Yep. Average. Dustin Martin heads the market for Norm Smith at $8. Patrick Dangerfield at $12. Lachie Neal at $14. Travis Boak at $17. So all the top four all have a representative in there. And then the Brownlow medal. Now,
Travis Boak's not a bad bet if they do make the grand final.
That's what I was just saying. $17. Just trying to get the Brownlow medal up here, but I've completely stuffed it. Do you know one thing I've never been good at?
What?
Is going through the Sportsbet app quickly. You know, if you do an integration, you're on the radio.
I find it to be the most easy app to use.
It is a very easy app to use. No, don't keep me
wrong. When you're on a Sportsbet program, you probably don't say you can't use it.
I'm just saying I'm not. I get under pressure.
You know what you can't do, like a lot of men? You can't do two things at once.
No, I definitely can't. I certainly can't.
It is the easiest app.
You'd be mad to use anything else. Brownlow Market without Neil, because he's going to win it.
Boak, second.
Travis Boak, $3.25.
These would have been better if you had got these up as graphics during the week. You know, rather than reading them out.
You know,
read the run sheet till 2 minutes before we get into the studio and you're going to clip me about getting screened
up. You know I wouldn't rule out of winning another Brownlow is Martin.
Ooh.
He'd be top three. Richmond, how many games has Richmond won? 11 games? 12 games? No, 11 games.
$13 with that, Neil.
11 games Richmond won. You can have him, Neil. He's probably in line in five or six of those games. He'll be on the podium, I reckon, Dusty.
I reckon we've got Lachie Neal finish on 24 votes in our Brownlow show. Steele on 19.
The Brownlow show you seem to give a lot more attention to than this show.
That's not right, huh? I give everything even.
Isn't it?
I give everything even, evenly.
Everyone got involved on the app yesterday just to talk about the show. Nathan got involved at 5 to 8 this morning.
You've got four kids. You know, it's a big
stop relying, say, on kids. You're not the first person to have kids.
No, I'm not. I won't be the last either, Hummer, but my job's a lot harder than yours.
Oh, hey, stay tuned because after this, there's already tension in the room now. There's tension between you and Brownie. There's tension between me and Brownie.
I'm simply going to talk Nathan through a process that he has no idea about.
All right, up next, we grill Richo on the All Australian debacle.
Debacle's a bit harsh. I wouldn't have gone with debacle.
Richo has not been happy in the break.
Can I just say this is the most thankless task you can be involved in?
Are you going
selecting
to do it next
an All-Australian squad. I think my time's come to an end, to be honest with you.
So, and then just...
There are more thankless jobs.
Richo, this is what I plead to you, because
it's a hard job.
It is a very, very difficult job. Now, as you know, I've been trying very hard to get this podcast in the media. Unfortunately...
You don't use me as your outlet.
Well, I'm just thinking maybe if you give us just something that we can sell to the media as to why, because there were some incredible snubs. Now, before we go through the team, let's just go through some of the glaring omissions that perhaps... maybe should have been included. Stephen May, obviously. Bizarre that he wasn't in there.
It is a bit bizarre.
Todd Goldstein, not in there. Mitch Wallace, Lachie Whitfield, Jared Lyons, Sam Collins. I can see Sam Collins not being here. Adam Saad, there was a case he made. Mitch Duncan, Jake Lloyd, Michael Walters.
So there's, how many names have you got there? Eight?
Yeah.
You've got to find eight players now to drop out. So you throw up names, but then you've got to bring them out. Look, yep.
It is a thankless job.
It is.
It is.
So I'll talk you through. I'll only
ask you one question before we get into that. I only see one problem, and that was the omission of Stephen May. I think he's been good enough to be in the starting 22 of the All-Australian. Now, everything else is fine. I don't think that Mitch Wallace deserved to be in there. I don't think that Walters deserved to be in there. All those players that you mentioned, Goldstein probably didn't deserve to be in there. But Stephen May, I think his first six games weren't outstanding, but I think he's back... 12 games were as good as anybody's in the competition, and that's why I thought that at least with me having him in the top 22, he could have been in your top 40.
So did you just say his first six games weren't that good?
I didn't say they weren't that good. I say they weren't as good as his last 12. They were okay.
Look, I think overall when you look at the 40, I think immediately the two names that came to mind were Stephen May and Todd Goldstein, and they were extremely stiff. And what you're doing here is splitting hairs, but... I'll just talk you through the process. There's only two meetings this year because there was only 17 games, and obviously the AFL, a lot going on. Normally there are three meetings, but with the shortened season, two meetings. So first meeting was after round eight was completed. Okay, so you sit round on a Zoom because no one could get together. So the panel sits there after round eight and you go through each team and you pick out the players that you think are worthy of being in the squad at that stage. And there might be 60 or 70 names on the board after you go through the 18 teams. Okay, so that's after round eight. So at that point, you had quite a few defenders up there, Harris Andrews, Wiedering, Darcy Moore, McGovern was up there at that point before he got injured, Dane Rampey was up there at that point, Dylan Grimes, Jonas. So there's quite a few tall defenders, key defenders up there at that point, at the first meeting. And the All-Australian team is based over the whole season.
Yep.
So there you go. At that meeting, you've got seven or eight key defenders there, of which Stephen May wasn't one. Now, obviously, after round eight, he really got going. He had an unbelievable back half of the year and is extremely stiff to not be in the 40. But you've still got to take into account the key defenders that were on that board at both meetings. And those players were Wiedering, who had a great year. Can you argue with Wiedering being in there? No, probably not. Harris Andrews missed the last few games, but clearly I think the best one-on-one shut down.
In the starting 22.
Darcy Moore, incredible year.
Yep.
Right. Collingwood, just about the best defence in the competition. Tom Jonas was in there at both meetings, and Port Adelaide had the best defence in the competition. Their captain leads the defence. And Dylan Grimes' name was up there again. Now, he's maybe not a key defender, but so there you've got five key defenders.
Yep.
You've also then got interceptors like Haynes, Ryan and Nick Floston and Jordan Ridley. Then you've got Maynard, Shepherd, Daniel and Darcy Byrne-Jones as different types of defenders. So you've got 13 or 14 defenders up there.
Are you saying you can only have like for like? So if I want to put Stephen May in, I have to take a key defender out.
No, what I'm saying is...
Why can't I take out a Darcy Byrne-Jones? Why can't I take out a Jordan Ridley?
Because you need to have balance in a squad of 40. So you need all types of players, key defenders, running defenders, interceptors. Then you've got all of your on-ballers, cup wingmen. Then you've got to have forwards and ruckmen. So you've only got 40. So as I said, Andrews, Moore, Jonas, Grimes and Wiedering, all key defenders, they were all on the board at both meetings. Stephen May is obviously the next one and he's extremely stiff. Now, a lot of people will disagree, I get that. You're splitting hairs, but that's the process that you go through.
Right. Okay. So when I look at it and I say...
So which one of them key defenders are you leaving out for Stephen May?
Yeah, I don't need to swap him out for a key defender.
Right.
I can swap him out for a Darcy Byrne-Jones. I can swap him out for a Jordan Ridley. Because I think he's had a better year than them. But when you look at your team and you talk about
balance. Yeah.
Balance, right. Yeah. Caleb Daniel is at halfback, who is a run and carry player. You've got Vlostone maybe on another halfback, who's a very good run and carry player. You've got Nick Haynes on the other halfback flank if you've got another back pocket. So you've got three of them who intercept the ball, run and carry, use it well. So I think that you've got those three. So why do you need Darcy Byrne-Jones? Why do you need Ridley in there? So I think old Frothy's May probably should be in there.
Did you just listen? There's five key backs in there and you just got to have balance in your squad and he's extremely stiff. That's the process that was committed to.
Can I ask the question? Why? What happened now?
The other thing is that doesn't mean that some of the selectors didn't have Stephen May in, but at the end of the day...
Who?
Names.
But at the end of the day... If you've got to get down to a vote, then you put your hand up.
And
if the numbers
are,
you should know this from politics. If you need the numbers, if you've got to go around and some people on the panel may have had Stephen May in there and some mightn't, but he wasn't there at both meetings and you need to be there for the whole season.
Did you have Stephen May?
Is it fair to say Warren Treadray really pushes the Adelaide people?
That's not right. I'm saying that at the end of the day, if you split on a player and you have to go to a vote, if the numbers aren't there, they're not there.
Who didn't want Goldstein?
We're not talking about that.
Why not?
No.
Okay, well, here's the question. Now you've done the squad, what needs to change between the squad and the 22? Or is the 22 decided?
The 22's picked and that's announced tonight. So there'll be a whole new round of abuse tomorrow for the selectors.
Oh, there we go.
I'm not turning my phone on tomorrow. I understand. And the other thing I understand, if you follow Melbourne, you're passionate about your team, you are filthy that Stephen May's not in there. So I get the passion.
Do you like Twitter this week? Did you have to have a break
from it? I felt like you needed to get on Twitter to explain the situation.
You really went for that.
And then Tom Brown said, I agree, Matthew.
You know what I nearly deleted the app off my phone the other night.
No, you love it.
Yeah,
you're a nuffy.
It's a good debate. It's a good debate.
Speaking of Twitter nuffies, how about Brownie this week to chirping up with Patrick Dangerfield's footage?
Oh, I just thought it was a good footage.
You know why he does it? Because it involves his Sunday footy show mates, Damo and Purple.
Is that he's the same sick person.
All right, hypotheticals, and then we're done. I had contact from
all... Why is he called Purple, by the way? Sorry, hey? Hum.
Because they thought that he had a purple rinse put through his hair at one stage. So it's meant to be a brown rinse, but it just went a little bit purple. A bit like Matty Lloyd's hair. Goes a bit purple.
That's right.
The Just for Men.
Had contact from all over the globe after our hypothetical last week. Of course, that was if you had to go to bed one time for the rest of your life, what time would it be? Suggestions.
What was the popular time?
11 o'clock seemed to be sort of the biggest hitting zone. This week, going a different tact, we're back to our usual four. These ones put together by our fantastic producer, Nath. Richo.
Yes.
This is just for you. For the rest of your life, you can give up two things you hate doing. But every
putting
time,
out the bins or...
Yep, something you just hate doing or like work.
Getting out of the car to put petrol in.
Yes.
But every time Brandy calls you to help with something, you have to do it.
So I can give up two things.
You hate, but every time he calls, you have to go and help him. If he says, hey, can you help me move...
Yeah, I got it.
The thing you've got to think about is how many times in my life and your life have I rang you and said, Matthew, I need help with this.
No, but I think the question here is, does he know that? Does he know? Ooh. Because if he knows that, I feel like...
He doesn't know at the start, but I reckon, like a trained dog, he would slowly start to pick up. If he just thinks every time he picks up the phone and you do help him, he'd be like, oh, maybe something's going... So he might work it out.
Yeah, but he hasn't... He's never had great street smarts, Hummer, so I'm...
He's learning difficulties that prevented that.
I'm not sure he'd pick it up, so I'm starting to swing here. Originally I thought, no, I don't want him ringing me saying, come over and babysit my kids or my dog's just, done something, I need you to come and tidy up. I thought, no, I don't want Nathan doing that because he'll abuse that, but I don't think he'll pick up on it. So I'm going to give up two things and take the risk of him ringing me every day.
Nice.
It's a well-measured answer. If one animal in the world was just as smart as humans, does the same thing we do, and we have to live amongst each other, what would you choose? So it's like an animal that's just like...
Say sweet, like dogs are man's best friend. I've never had a dog, and I know a lot of people love their dogs, but I've never had one. So I might go chimpanzee. They're already quite human-like, aren't they? Hey?
They're very pretty similar as is. Like, these guys will be on the train with you and working.
Yeah, well, I like chimpanzees.
I got a dog, hum.
I'm a dog.
I'm a dog man.
If my dog Arthur could be he's my best mate, but my real best mate, I'd be over the moon. If a zombie plague was to start right now, where would you hold up?
You know what? I watched a doco on SBS about George Bush and his whole presidency. He's 8 years, George W. Bush.
You see the older one or the younger one?
No, he's the younger one. And when September 11 happened, you were in New York. When September 11 happened, he was flown to some base in the middle of America, Nebraska or somewhere, and they took him down into his bunker. And he was down in a bunker for a few hours while they sorted out what was going to go on. I'd go there. I'd fly to that bunker.
Would you be allowed in?
Would it be pretty safe there, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but they're not just going to let you in their bunker.
Oh, well, I'll try and get in.
I'd go...
I've tried to get into a lot of nightclubs in my time and I've had to talk a fair bit of rubbish. I'm going to back myself at the bunker.
Where are you going, Brady?
I've got no idea, huh?
Yeah, zombies can't swim.
Hey, can't they?
Nah, I'm pretty sure.
Have you seen Brownie swimming?
Not a great swimmer.
Last one. If Jurassic Park was real, would you go?
Yeah, I would.
Definitely.
I love that movie.
It
was filmed in Hawaii, wasn't it? Yeah.
If you get behind them, they can't see you, so you always got to try and...
What?
Yeah.
Well, they can't
turn
around.
They don't have peripheral vision.
Are you telling me a brontosaurus, that big neck, can't turn around?
Yeah, it can't turn around.
Exactly.
I don't believe that.
It's just a T-Rex.
How do they know that? How do they know that dinosaurs could not see you behind? And I can't see someone behind me.
No.
Yes, she can. You just turn around.
Mm. Not if they're directly behind me.
But they take a long time to turn around the dinosaur. And then you can just...
No, the T-Rex is... the brontosaurus, that big neck it's got.
Mm.
Oh, God. All right,
it's not a meat eater either, brontosaurus. It was a plant eater.
Which one's a plant?
Yeah, okay. But now answer this for me. I just want to go back to this because you didn't listen to what I
said. Oh, dear.
There were five key defenders. Oh, which one do you leave out?
Going back to the All-Australian.
That is going
to
do us. Hey, some good news as well.
Why don't you tweet about it again?
If you're sad, if you're upset that Richo, Brownie and Hummer was going to stop when the footy season finished, it's not going to. We're going a summer edition.
What are we going to talk about?
Right. I don't know.
We'll talk rubbish anyway.
The audience numbers are so fantastic that we just need to keep them going. Hey, good luck. Enjoy the week off. If you're in Melbourne, keep fighting the good fight. We're going all right. We should be hitting the golf course next week, the pub a couple of weeks after. Gamble responsibly.